You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So we're starting a brand new series today called Fruit. And I'll explain a little bit why it's called Fruit and what it's all about. And over the next few weeks, some of the elders are going to step in and be filling in while I'm away on vacation and teaching as well. And we'll continue this through August, so you'll hear more about different pieces of fruit. But I wanted to have John Staley. I can't even see a thing. Can you hand her off? I know you're making her comfortable. I mean to your wife. Can you hand your daughter off to your wife and get your rear up here? Okay. All right. Now, John, I want you to know right now, before you come any further, I am going to be making a fool of you, but I know you can handle it. He is one of our MC3 student prime leaders, so I appreciate that. And I also need you to do me this favor. I know you're a sharp guy, so play along. Okay, play along, all right, because you'll ruin everything, and people's lives will be destroyed forever if you don't do that. Okay? Huh? Souls. Their souls will be destroyed forever. So, all right, why don't you come up the stairs? Because you can have a hold on. Take your time. You're walking too fast. I can't get to the thing here. Sorry. Okay. Why don't you come up and have a seat right here, John? Have a seat. That's a good step. Oh, you just made a sound. That was you thought I was giving you a seat, but instead you were sitting on a whoopee cushion. That's so embarrassing. Yeah, you did. Okay. All right. I was wondering, are you hungry? Would you like some gourmet mixed nuts?
Absolutely.
All right, please enjoy. Right, you thought that your hair is awesome. Anyway, what would it be like? Anyway, all right, sorry. Just wondering what it would be like to have hair like that. Okay, so sorry. You thought you were going to get some gourmet mixed nuts, and instead you didn't. Would you like a glass of water? Okay. I'll pour it for you in a little glass here.
Thank you.
Oh, it's dribbling. Oh, careful. Oh, look at it. It's dribbling all over him. He thought he was getting a glass of refreshing water, but instead, wow, you downed that fast. Thank you. And, I think there's something else here. Oh. Look, there's a dollar. Wouldn't you have it? Go ahead and have it. Oh, you didn't get it. I took it away from you. Oh, you missed out on the dollar. Yeah, and so you didn't get any of the things that I was offering you. But I really appreciate your willingness to stand up here, sit up here, and do all this for us. So why don't we give it up for Mr. John Staley. Thank you. What'd you do with the... Oh, there it is. Did you break it? You broke... Like, wait, it's still inflated. So practical jokes. I mean, those are some old school things that... did you get enough good pictures? All right, good. I cannot see a thing. I don't even know what these are about, but they came in the kit of practical jokes. So this side has a question mark. Maybe it's like, oh, huh? Oh, anyway. But practical jokes, right? I mean, I don't know if you guys grew up, but there was a company called Adams when I was little that had all these stupid things like that. And that's how entertainment worked for my generation, okay? Like a little ant in an ice cube that you'd put in someone's glass, or the classic whoopee cushion, and all these silly little gags. This was one of my favorites. So I remember when I was on a band trip in middle school, we went to this place that the vendor out front, I think we were in Williamsburg, the vendor out front was selling little gag tricks, and I thought this one was the best. Now, this is a short one I picked up online, but I love that, because he caught me. Like, there was a dollar hanging there, or sitting there on the ground, and I went up to get it, and the guy was like, oh! And so I'm like, this is really awesome, and so I wanted it. And this is the fourth time I've used this one, because I think I used that one five times, and by that point, it completely just destroyed. It was, worth every $30 I paid for that thing back then, But the thing about practical jokes, right, is they're funny, they're cheesy at this point in life. But the each one of these things was some sort of an invitation. Hey, have a comfy seat. I care about you, John, so have a comfy seat. But in reality, I just wanted to make fun of him. In reality, I wasn't actually offering him anything good. I was offering him a chance for me to make fun of him and to laugh. Or, you know, of course, a glass of water is refreshing. Of course you want to have a glass of water to drink. But in reality, it was just another way to make fun of him. It was an embarrassment. There wasn't actually a real thing there. And what else did I do? I did the dog. Oh, the can. Where did you take them and eat them? Oh, there they are. Yeah, my can of gourmet mixed nuts. I didn't really care about him, you know, getting a little snack. I cared about making fun of him and embarrassing him. And in what we're going to talk about this morning, and I'll get to it in a moment, but a practical joke is offering something good, but then revealing that it's not. And I want to challenge you this morning with this idea, and this is, give me a second here, hold on the screen there. But as Christ followers, we can do the same thing with the message of Jesus. Because the message of Jesus is, it is the most important thing that you can share, that you can know, that you can proclaim, that you can believe. There is nothing more important than what Jesus did on the cross for you to save you from eternity in hell. Nothing else. It is the most important thing. And we've got this message to share. That is what that's our job. And we've sung songs about that today, just about sharing that message. And here's the deal. We can be a practical joker with this most important message because we say, hey, I want you to have my Jesus. And then when they get to know you or they see you interact with other people or themselves, you're a jerk. And all of a sudden, why would I want your message? It's just a practical joke. Oh, yeah, Jesus has changed your life. Right. Because that looks like he did that for you. Oh, Jesus will help you live for him and be a better person. Right, because that's working for you, because you're doing that. And this idea of offering something that's wonderful and then screwing it up by the way we live is an issue. And I'm not saying that we have to be perfect, and we've been singing about amazing grace and the fact that God does change us, and we'll talk about God changing us for all these things. But what I am saying is we need to get away from the lie that you can tell people about Jesus and then live however you want and think the two don't affect each other. You can offer them a nice seat, but then there's a whoopee cushion on it. Like, we've misunderstood that, you know, and I've watched people, like, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but, you know, you cut someone off in traffic, you give them the finger, and then as you cut them off, they see a Jesus loves you sticker on the back of your car. Come on, right? Like, we've got this messed up issue, and it, you know, Jesus becomes a practical joke. And we're going to talk about why that matters in a little bit. But here's the point, and this isn't going to make much sense yet, but it will in a moment. And the point is this, that when the fruit of kindness and goodness are produced, they result in reaching. And you could put others in parentheses there. When the fruit of kindness and goodness are produced, they result in reaching others. And we'll talk about this in a moment. But first, I need to catch you up on what's going on here. Over the next few weeks, over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be teaching about a thing, about stuff, about a category called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, if you think about it in terms of, I don't know, fruit. Fruit is something that a plant or tree produces. An apple tree produces apples. If the apple tree is not healthy, it will not produce apples. That is the goal, is for an apple tree to produce apples. And an orange tree produces oranges. And other fruits, insert here, produce those things too. We're talking about fruit, and so here's what this means. This is what it means, especially, you know, if you grew up in church world, you might have heard the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you know a nifty little song. Maybe you heard that nifty little song playing as you walked in this morning. But if you didn't, this is kind of a weird thing. Like, why are we talking about fruit? Fruit sounds kind of weird, and personally, as you'll see in some other things, but there's some fruit that is just wrong. Like, anything in the melon family, I don't get. Like, and cantaloupe? It's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's put vomit in an orange package and then give it to people. Like, it tastes like vomit. Anyway, that's just my opinion. I have an opinion, obviously. But anyway, this idea of fruit, like, what does that mean? So I want you to understand in terms of the context, we're going to look at where this comes from. This actually comes from the passage in Galatians chapter 5. So the lights are on. If you have your YouVersion app, tap on Galatians tap on 5, and I need to fly through this because I took too long with the announcements this morning, and so we're running a little bit behind time-wise. But I just want to set up where the rest of these 2 months are going to be, where we're going in what's going on over these 2 months, so you can at least follow, and these guys don't have to fill you in too much of the details. But, you know, I want to give you a little math problem. When you talk about a comparison, a comparison is a math term. And me being the math expert, I am going to share with you a math term. And I consulted Nakia on this, who is also a math expert like me. We've agreed that math should be abolished. So comparing apples to oranges, I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, but you can't compare two things. So I want to give you a quick comparison. The first thing that we need to understand, this is pretty straightforward, is that sin does not equal the Spirit. And when we talk about the Spirit here, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. When you choose to follow Jesus as your Savior, when you believe what He did for you on the cross, the Bible says that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit comes to live in us. If you grew up in church world, you might have said something as a kid like, I accepted Jesus into my heart. And that's kind of that concept. And I'll just leave it there. That we're talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Spirit, it's not some like ghost floating around. It's not paranormal activity where you've got a camera sitting around somewhere catching the Spirit. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And if you want to learn more about that, we did a series called Three about a year ago where we talked about the three persons of the Trinity, and I spent a week talking about the Holy Spirit, which certainly is enough to cover everything about the Holy Spirit. But understand that sin and the Spirit are not the same. They are not equal. And this is what Paul, he's writing a letter to a church in Galatia, which is a church that he planted. And here's some things that he explains to them in this letter. And he goes on and says to them, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So you're going to see this thing. Holy Spirit, sinful nature. The sinful nature, which side did I put that on? Sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other, constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. And I don't have time to get into that, but the law of Moses was referring to the rules and the regulations that the Old Testament people, the people that became the church, were used to following. And so the first thing is that the sin is not sin and the Spirit are not the same. And so Paul is setting up a contrast here between these two things. That, understand, you can't be sinning and saying you're following God. You can't be living by the Spirit and be sinning. The two are mutually exclusive. And I'm not saying as a person, I'm not saying as life, but you can't say, you can't be doing something wrong and saying, I'm following the Spirit. No, you're not. You're over here in sin. And you can say, oh, this sin is wrong. I need to stop right now doing that sin, that wrong thing. And now, okay, you're living by the Spirit. So it's not that it's one category forever, but you can't be doing both at the same time. You're either following the Spirit or you're in sin. And again, we've talked about this word sin and how it's a target. And God's perfection is what He wants for us. It's our best for us. We talked about that last week, about following His word and why He wants what's best for us. And so that's following the Spirit. God says, I want what's best for you. I want you to do what I'm directing you to do. It's going to be for your benefit. But if we choose to ignore that, we've missed the mark. And now that's the word sin, and we're over here. Ignoring God. So, sin does not equal the Spirit. The second thing is that sin equals negative acts. Again, using this math equation, this is about as far as I can go. Okay? And the negative kind of threw me off a little bit. I this probably doesn't mean something. Like, this is not accurate mathematically. But sin does equals negative acts. And that's what he goes on to say then. And again, just kind of setting you up for where we're going. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, which means you're not following the Spirit, because the Spirit does not equal sinful nature. These two are fighting each other. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. If you don't fit into that category, Yeah, lying isn't on there. But that's one of the other sins. If you don't fit that category, you're lying. Like, you are in there. And again, it doesn't mean, like, this is everything I do. But this is what it looks like to sin. And those things, that is what God says is sin. The Word of God clearly says this is sin. And he goes on and says, let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't have time to get into this either, but he's not saying that if you sin, you're not going to heaven. But he's saying that if your lifestyle says, you know what, this is what I believe in, and not following God and not giving your life to him, you know, you're not going to get to heaven by being outside of what God, by being separated from God, by being separated from God through Jesus. So that's what he's saying there, and we don't have time to get into that more. So, sin does not equal spirit. The sin equals negative acts, and then the spirit equals positive fruit. And so here's where we are. Galatians 5:22. So he's talking about the sinful acts. The acts, the things that you do when you're in sin are obvious. It's all these awful things. Then he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is working in us. He is growing us. And therefore, as a tree, as a plant that produces something, we are going to produce fruit like this. And so he says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, I know another translation I grew up. There is no law against these things. He's basically saying, you know, if you're following the Spirit, you're not stuck in the rules and the regulations of the Old Testament law. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's nine of them, so we're going to talk about two of them today, and then we're going to cover the other seven over the next 7 weeks, and kind of the elders are going to be teaching some of those. But these are the fruits of the Spirit. And I don't know if it's, okay, follow me here. There are, like I said, there's nine there, right? Not like, there are nine there. So is that fruit of the Spirit, or is ours the fruits of the Spirit? I don't know which one's grammatically correct. So if I say fruit or fruits, there's nine of them. You get the idea. But this is what we're going to be talking about the next 8 weeks, is looking at these specific things that when we are following God, when we are submitting to the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that doesn't mean anything all like weird and crazy. It just means you're being obedient. That's an easy way to look at it. When you're being obedient to God, these things are going to be produced in your life. These things are going to be the outward things that are going to happen. These are the changes that are going to start in here that are going to be produced out here. And understand that this is the Holy Spirit producing these things in our lives. So it means we're submitting to God and saying, okay, God, I need you to work on this. Can you go back for a second just there? And these nine things, we're going to spend a week looking at each of them and seeing what does that look like in our life? How does that work? And how can God produce that in us? So that's what this whole series is about. It's fruit of the Spirit. 8 weeks. I'm covering two today. And so now we'll join you back with our regularly scheduled program already in progress. Which goes back to the point. When the fruit of kindness and goodness are produced, they result in reaching. So I'm zooming in on two today. And again, this idea of thinking that we can live one way, let's stand over here. We can live by the sin and then invite people to follow God, to believe in Jesus, and think that those two will work together. And they don't. We need to produce, well, God needs to produce, the Holy Spirit needs to produce in us different fruit. And when kindness and goodness are produced, that's going to result in people being reached for Jesus. That's going to result in people giving their hearts to Him. Now, it's God's call. God is the one that works in people's hearts. It's not your job to get someone saved or something like that. It's not your job to force conversion. But sometimes it's our job to get out of the way and stop being a problem in that. So this idea of kindness and goodness. So let's look at this here. The joke is on us, because sometimes we think that, oh, I can just do this thing over here and it's not going to affect how people follow the Jesus that I try to share with them. I've got the bumper sticker, so I can do whatever I want in my car. I can be an awful, awful person when I'm at a restaurant, complaining about the food, complaining about the service, giving a lousy tip tucked into a tract that says, do you know my Jesus? And I was talking with a waitress years ago. I said, this is what she said. They hate Sunday afternoons at the restaurants in town here. She worked at a restaurant in town. They hate Sunday afternoons because that's when all the church people come. And all the church people are bad tippers. They're rude. And then they try to tell them about Jesus. Like, really? This is what the Church of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that's what he's known for. Why? Because we think that we can play practical jokes with Jesus and it's not going to be a big deal, but it's affecting the way people see us. If we want to reach people for Jesus, if we want this message to matter, then we're going to have to let God produce the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us to produce kindness and goodness. So, I want to look at this passage quickly, look at a couple things here. First of all, this idea of goodness is what we do. What we do are actions of goodness. And just looking here at the passage we just saw, of course, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, goodness. The word goodness, I'll bring this in front here. Okay. The word goodness means the quality of being good or doing good based on God's definition of good. And so what Paul is saying here is that when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, when we are following him, he's going to produce goodness. It means we are going to do good things for other people. And that doesn't mean good because they think it's good. It doesn't mean good because you think it's good. It's good based on what God thinks is good. And sometimes good things feel good. Sometimes good things don't. And we're actually going to talk about that next month on one of the other fruits of the Spirit, fruits. Looking at this idea of talk, confronting people and dealing with issues face to face. So sometimes goodness feels good, sometimes it doesn't feel good, but it's still good based on God's standard. And then in another letter, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he says this. He says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord." Once you were over here, once you were pre-Jesus, you were full of darkness. You had no hope. You were not inherit the kingdom of God. But now, as a follower of Jesus, you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. You're different. So live differently. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Don't take the bait. Don't let the world suck you in and shape you into its mold. Live as people of light. He says, "For the light, this light within you produces only what is good." And that Greek word is the same word. It produces good things in you. That when you are following Jesus, you're going to be doing good things and right things and true things. You're going to be following the Spirit, not the way of sin. And so this idea of doing good, that if we want to be people, if we want to reach people with the message of Jesus, we're going to need to be doing good things for other people. And good things might mean helping someone out with a project. It might be helping someone with a flat tire. It might mean pulling someone aside and saying, "Hey, can I pray for you?" It might be stepping up and doing something that no one else is willing to do. It might be willing to step down, humble yourself, and do the job at work that no one else wants to do. Because you want to be doing good things. Because God wants us to be doing that because we are a light. We are the ones that are shining the light in the darkness. And in the darkness, if there's no light, you can't see anything. And we are that light. And so the Holy Spirit produces goodness in us so that others can see. The light within you produces only what is good. So this idea of what are you doing? What things do you do for other people that are good? And maybe I can stop before I even get to the word good. What things do you do for other people? Or does it all come back to you? Because God has called us to be the light of the world. We're a city on a hill. Something that stands out. Everybody can see. I don't know if you guys have ever hung out in the Lowe's parking lot or the Walmart parking lot at night when the bypass cars are driving along there and it's like flying cars, UFOs or something going on because they're there. You see them. Christmas time, it's like, it's Santa. Like, I don't know. But because when something is up high, you can see it. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that light. How do people see that light? Because we tell them, "Oh, I am the light of the world. Take my Jesus." Well, in one sense, we should tell them, but not like that. We show them. Like, let me tell you about my Jesus and then show this is why my life is different. This is what it looks like. Why are you doing this for me? Because of what Jesus did. I was actually looking back at some of the videos that we did, and I came across the Not On My Watch glass writing things, and I was just reflecting on the ones that you guys wrote there and thinking about, you know, someone did that. Someone was good in your life that led you to the point of following Jesus. So what are you doing that is producing goodness, that is showing goodness, that is being goodness for other people? Don't try to invite them to your Jesus if you're not willing to care about them and do things for them. Talk is cheap. It's easy to talk. It is easy to post. It is easy to sit back and bemoan the problems of the world. And why can't people do more like that? Why don't you do it? Because what we do are actions of goodness. The fruit of the Spirit produces goodness in us. And if you're like, you know what, I just have a hard time with that. Okay, good, because it's not your job. Go to Jesus and say, God, can your Spirit produce goodness in me? Humble yourself and say, I'm not good at being good. And that's no good. Say, God, help me to produce this fruit. May other people see the goodness in my life, not because of what I want people to see about me, but so that when I say, hey, yeah, let me tell you about my Jesus. Kendra's not in here. But we had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a neighbor who was blown away that, I don't know how many people we had, 20-some people would show up at my house and spend hours in a stinky, nasty, having insulation pulled down on them kitchen and gut the whole thing and be done before lunchtime. And I, you know, you'll probably hear some C3 opportunities down the road about this, but she said, I don't have anybody in my life that would ever do anything like that. Not one person. And it was cool to be able to say, hey, this is the church. This is what it's supposed to look like. Because what we do need to be actions of goodness. So that's what the fruit of goodness looks like in our lives. The second thing is how we do it. And that is an attitude of kindness. Kindness, the attitude we have, as in that passage of Galatians 5, of course. Holy Spirit produces this in our life, kindness. The word for kindness, because they wrote this book in, this letter was written in Greek, that was the language they spoke. And it is this word, it means kindness, usefulness. It is the opposite, the Greek word itself means the opposite of something that's short or severe, something that's cut off. This is the idea of something that's long and giving and overflowing, more than it needs to be. It's actually, the word is, I'll say it wrong, Christotes. And they get a root word from that, which is Christos, which is the Greek word for wine. Like the drink wine, not the... because why? Because wine is mellowed with age. It has taken time. As Kendra says, every good man is like a good wine. She said that now because I'm old. When I was younger, it was different, you know. But this idea of mellowing, of long, the word has that root, and it comes back to an attitude, a disposition, the way you carry yourself. Are you willing to be kind to others? Not short, not severe, not get her done, but actually demonstrating kindness. And, you know, this is one that I'm always like, okay, God, you got to produce this in me because I got nothing. I'm not trying to be super humble. I'm saying if I'm nice to you, it is not me. I just want the job. I want the job to be done. I want it to be done the right way. I want it to be done my way. You better do it my way 10 minutes ago. Helps if I get some sleep sometimes. That helps too. But this idea of producing this longness, this idea of not being short and severe, but being kind to others. And in Colossians, another letter that Paul wrote to the church he planted in Colossae, he says this. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I love this phrase. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, and there's that word again, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself. Let it wrap around you. Let your attitude be one of kindness. And all these are attitude issues there. So when you do good things for other people, you're actually kind about it. When your food comes late, was it their fault? Yeah. Are you paying a high price for this food? Yeah. Would a good restaurant get it to you on time? Yeah. So what? You can still be kind to others around you. You can be kind. You can not be short, not cut off, but in what you do, be kind. And it's kind of cool. I didn't actually plan this on so many levels, but that song that Kyle led this morning, the new one, Reckless. Yeah, sorry, I was a little, you know. Anyway, Reckless Love, like this, about how God is good and God is kind. And like, wow, how cool is that? These two are together in that. And this idea of the way these two words fit together, that you're doing good things and you're doing it in a kind way. Because if we do that as the light of the world, as God's chosen people, as ones that are loved by the Savior, who loved us and someone showed us goodness and kindness, then we need to do the same for others. And it's not about being here where you're doing the sinful thing, which is all about yourself. Me, my way, what I deserve, my rights, my money, my time. Over here, we're saying, God, help me to be good to others. Help me to do good things for other people. Help me to do it in a way that is kind. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I'm the kind of person that's misinterpreted, I think, sometimes. Oh, he was pretty mean. I mean, that's not good. That's not an excuse. I just want to say that. But so it's a matter of saying, what does that look like? What does kindness look like for Sean? How do people see kindness in me? Kendra, like, she is infectious with her joy. It's her middle name. It's Kara's first name, Chara. This idea of joy, like, she has deep, heartfelt conversations with, like, people at the gas station and her dentist and the waitress that's working with us and the person that just happens, like, cars are driving by us at a light and they're, like, spilling their guts. I don't even know how that happens. Because there's something about the way she is kind to other people. And that's something I want to replicate. I want people to look at me and say, wow, that is a kind person. And I can say, yeah, because the Holy Spirit has produced that in me. God is doing something in me and making me more like him. And I'm going to tell you about my Jesus and why he loved me so much that he died on the cross for me. I was stuck in my sin, but he died on the cross for me to take me out of that and give me something of hope. And I want to share that with you. But I can't do that if I'm telling you you're a jerk, acting like an obnoxious person, and in it for myself. It's going to require kindness. So, those things we said, what do we do? Actions of goodness. How we do it? An attitude of kindness. That is going to draw people to Jesus. And again, it's not your job. It's not like you're keeping score or anything like that. But when the Holy Spirit is producing goodness and kindness in us, it's going to be attractive. People are going to want that. People are going to see that and be drawn to him. So we need to consider, what does that look like? Because when the fruit of kindness and goodness are produced, they result in reaching. People want to know. It's not a matter of guilt, like, you better come to church. Why? My pastor says you're supposed to. I hope people see something in you that says, what do you have? Because I want it. What is there? There's something about you. Your boss just reamed you out for something that wasn't even your problem. And you took it. Goodness, kindness. When we do that, people will see it. And that's what matters, people. This is what matters, is Jesus. He is the most important thing. So we need to be willing to say, God, I need you to produce that in my life. Please help me. Let me yield to you so that I can become good and kind. What I do, how I do it. So I want to share a couple of things here as we wrap up. Some requirements, some things that are required. If we're going to reach people with goodness and kindness, it's going to require some things. And this is the hard stuff, because it's easy to say, certainly, it's easy to say things to other people and imply and hope, and I wish I could help you. But it's another thing entirely to actually do something. And these doing things and having an actual attitude is very different And it's going to require some things that are unexpected. So goodness and kindness, first of all, are not always deserved. But we still do it. Goodness and kindness are not always deserved. If you're waiting until the person deserves for you to be good and kind to them, you're going to have to keep waiting. And by the way, look in the mirror and keep waiting on that person too. Goodness and kindness are not always deserved. I said not always. Sometimes, like, wow, if someone does something good, you can't be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to be nice to you because that would mean that I'm doing it for, you know. But if, you know, you sometimes it is deserved. Hey, be good to them because they did something nice to you. That's great. But it's not always the case. And in Matthew chapter 5, there's this passage that you probably know. Even if you never grew up in church, you've heard this, well, cropped and taken out of context. Jesus says, you have heard, he's speaking here to his followers, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That is the Greek, that was the Jewish law. If someone, and the Roman law at the time, if someone poked your eye out, you poked their eye out. If they took your tooth, you take their tooth. Whatever they did to you, you do it back to them. Jesus says, but I say to you, do not resist. Do not confront. Do not go against. That's what this word resist means. An evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Turn the other cheek, right? We've heard that phrase a lot. But we don't understand the context here. That was the ultimate form of insult to a Jewish person. And that's who Jesus is speaking to here. These are Jewish people. That is the ultimate form of insult. I don't know what the ultimate form of insult is these days, but it is like, it is, you'd never do that. You could punch out their teeth, take out their eye, but you do not slap a person because that is ultimately insulting. And again, I don't know what that would look like in our culture today. What is that ultimate level of insult? You never go there. Maybe talking about your mom? I don't know. And Jesus says, if someone slaps you, the audience is going, what? On the cheek? Oh, they're going down. We are going to hurt. Jesus says, turn and give them the other cheek. What? So you're saying if someone insults me, I need to be kind to them. The ultimate insult, I need to turn the other way so they can do it again? Yep. Because that's kindness and goodness. Jesus says, if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from me, give your coat too. The law said that even the most impoverished people in that culture, they deserve to have their coat. If you do something, if you owe some money, you purchase something, you can't pay it back, whatever, you are legally in court. They can sue you and they're allowed to take everything, but they're not allowed to take your coat. So if you have, you know, I don't know, $300 worth of undergarments and you owe them $500, they can take as much as they can, but they cannot take the coat, even though the coat might be worth $500 itself. Because that's at least something to keep them warm. That's home for them. That's shelter. They can curl up under that at night if that's all they've got. You're allowed to take anything else. You can take their house. You can take their cattle. You can take anything, but you cannot take their coat. That was what the law required. Jesus says, if they take your shirt, they take everything, give me your coat too. That's not deserved. That's not deserved because Jesus is setting something up saying, you know what, I'm a God who is all about the undeserved. I'm a Jesus, I'm a Savior that's coming for people that don't deserve it. And that's who you are, that's who I am. That's the whole message that he's setting up here. Saying people don't deserve kindness and goodness and neither do you. But we're going to do it anyway. Then he says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Again, Roman law. Now, they were under Roman occupation. The Roman Empire ruled the entire known world at the time. And they ruled it by brute force, by strength. And the Roman army is one of the best armies ever assembled, historically. And the rule required that any peon, any person that a Roman soldier came along, regardless of the Roman soldier's rank, if they weren't a soldier, they could be forced to carry all of their gear. And this isn't like, you know, you've got like a little bag or a backpack or something like that. This is like armor and all the heavy stuff, the whatever, swords, shields. It is heavy. It is awful. And the law required that you have to carry it for a mile. You have to do that. If you don't do that, they kill you. Like, that's the law. And Jesus says, you know what? carry it 2 miles. And I remember, I think it was at the Orange Tour a couple of years ago, Reggie Joyner was talking about, you know, what was that conversation like after mile one with that Roman soldier and that person carrying the gear? Why are you doing this? You don't have to do this. This is heavy. This is exhausting. Why would you do this? Because my Jesus says I should. Because I want to show kindness. Because God did that for me through Jesus. Like, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it sounds like there was probably a Roman soldier along the line here that was reached for Jesus because someone showed goodness and kindness, even though they didn't deserve it. So that's the first thing to understand, that reaching requirements, goodness and kindness are not always deserved, but we still do it. The second thing, goodness and kindness are not always returned, but we still do it. You might do good things for people over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they might even say, wow, you're a good person, and never ever thank you. Or they may never even say you're a good person. You might just keep doing things and they never come back to you and say thanks. Or do something for you. Or say, you know, you do this for me, let me do this for you. Jesus says it doesn't matter. We need to show goodness and kindness to other people, even if they never return it to us. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those that are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. He's saying, like, look, if you're doing it so you can, you know, you scratch their backs, I scratch your backs, so you scratch mine, like, that's normal. That happens all the time. There's nothing special about that. But he says, and if you lend to those for whom you expect repayment, hey, I'll give you this money. Make sure you give it back to me with interest. What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. And when he uses the word sinners here, he's saying the world. Like, there's nothing unique. This is the way everybody does it. Those people that are following Jesus, those people that don't. There's nothing special. He says then, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Do good to them without expecting to get anything back. They may never, ever appreciate, care, acknowledge, honor you. Okay? Wow, really? I'm going to do this? And Jesus says, actually, there's a benefit to it. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Who's He talking about? You. 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 You and you. You and me. He was kind to us. He says, you don't do it expecting to get something back. Hey, I'll help them because I know maybe they'll let me swim in their pool. Jesus says, no. You do it without expecting anything because you're the light of the world, because your kindness and goodness can reach them for Jesus. And that's what's really important. That's what really is going to make a difference. So stand out. Be unique. Don't just go along with it because everybody gets something back. Be the one that shows up and says, I'm doing this for you. Oh, what do I do? Nothing. What? That's something I was teaching Jack a couple of years ago. And we go up and down the street. I mean, it helps that I have a snowblower and I love using it. But we would anything we could find. We'd go, like, that was my lawn. I don't care. It looks good now. And then Jack would have to do the cleanup because the snowblower is a little messy. So he would go up and shovel. And I said, you know, there's a nice little old lady that lives across the street and she's going to try to do something for you. She's going to try to pay you. And I want you to tell her no. Not because you don't deserve it. I said, Jack, I'll pay you. I'm going to pay you for this. But I want her to see that you're willing to do this because you care, not because you're expecting to get something out of it. It's not a shakedown. Hey, lady, I'm holding your walkway hostage. Shoveled it, now you owe me. No. Do it without expecting to get anything in return. So reaching requirements, goodness and kindness, they're not always deserved. They're not always returned. And finally, they're not always justified. But we still do it. Meaning, they might not deserve it. You might be right in not doing anything for this person. It might be your prerogative. There's no reason you should do this. That food was late. You paid for it. You've been here waiting. They do not deserve your kindness. You're right. But that doesn't mean We don't do it. It might not be justified. It might not fit in terms of categories of fair and unfair and your rights and what you deserve. But we still do it. In Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Last week we talked about the importance of memorizing the Bible and how it's in you. And the version, the NIV version, is that the NIV there? No, that's the NLT. The NIV version, I remember, says the harsh word turns away wrath. And that is something that I memorized and it's been in me. And dude, I need it because I am not a kind person. Because I want to tell someone when they come to me with their complaint, with their issue, with their why this isn't right, why I'm wrong. Oh, I want to let them have it. And I'm probably right. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way, like I'm always right. But I'm just saying, like, there are multiple situations, you know, because we don't know. We don't know the whole story a lot of times. And usually complaining people don't know the whole story. And so then, you know, they say something, oh, I'm so upset about this. And let them have it. And I'd be like, oh, well, let me tell you why you're wrong. And here's the reason. Here's another reason. Here's another reason. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Thank you very much. Like... But Solomon, I think Solomon wrote this proverb, a gentle answer deflects anger. Harsh words make tempers flare. And you know what? I could win the argument and lose the war. And sometimes, maybe all the time, my job is to respond with kindness. You know what? I'm sorry you feel that way. You know what? I'm gonna answer you this way, even though it's wrong. Like, you don't deserve for me to answer this way. But I'm going to do it anyway because this is what I'm supposed to do. And I have watched over and over and over and I'm like, oh, Jesus, thank you so much that I did not hit send, that I did not reply the way I wanted to. And I'm telling you, Messenger is a scary place to be because you can accidentally hit send all the time. how many emails I've written, let me tell you how I really feel. My kids say I make faces when I type. Like, oh, you happy? Yeah. You have your, Kendra said to me last night, you have your, I'm going to show you face on. I'm like, oh, I have a face. But, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what you think. Go cry. Go run to your corner and cry. Like, Sean, you're so right. You're so good. Wonderful. Yep. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to respond in kindness because you know what? I don't even know your story either. I don't know what caused you to say that. I don't know what heartbreak you endured, what situation you went through that brought you to that moment. And those moments when I, by God's grace, by His strength, respond in love and compassion, it's crazy because the other person responds the same way sometimes, many times. Okay, yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't understand that. Why? Because justification, being right or wrong, like, and let's talk about this, husbands and wives, come on. Guys, you know you're always right. Ladies, well, so are you. Problem. But it's a matter of saying, let's just be gentle. Let's care for each other. Let's be kind to one another. Why? Because in doing so, it might draw people to Jesus. So, goodness and kindness are not always deserved. They're not always returned, and they're not always justified. But we do it anyway. We still do it. So, there's two fruits. When the fruits of goodness, of kindness and goodness are produced, they result in reaching. We need to watch that we're not just playing practical jokes with the message of Jesus. That we're actually backing it up by the way we act towards others and what we do towards others. The way we act and the attitude we have behind it. So the next few weeks, you're going to hear a couple other incredible teachers. I am not just being, you know, nice and kind. Like, the elders at MC3 are some of my favorite teachers, and I'm not just saying that. Like, these guys are amazing communicators, and it's so cool. I just want to drop, like, this is, I want to give some props to these guys and to God, because I was just talking to someone the other day. They're like, I could never have anybody else at their church fill in. I'm like, you have a staff of 8 pastors, and 3 of them are teaching pastors. Yeah, like it's that kind of crazy. And we've got some incredible teachers. So they're going to be sharing some more fruit of the Spirit over the next few weeks, and I'll be back in August. But ask God in all of these to produce them in you, to make you different, and with goodness and kindness so that you can reach other people. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that this life, this following you thing, this living life isn't, we're not on our own. That we have, as we talked about last week, your word as a guide, as an instruction manual to how to live. And God, we've got your Spirit, even more incredible. We've got your Spirit in us, God living in us, the God that created the universe, the God that died and rose from the dead is living in us. And God, you want to help us. You want to make us more like you. You want to produce fruit in our lives. And I pray that you would help us to yield to you, to not be over here in the sin category, trying to do it on our own, but to give ourselves up and say, God, change this. And I pray specifically for kindness and goodness, that you would draw that out of us. Make us people that do good things for other people, even though they don't deserve it. Make us people that are kind to others, even when it might not be fair. So that in those things, they can see you in us. So they can see a light shining out of us that points them to you. Thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.